The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Tell me what's going on.
I never thought I'd be calling you.
I hope you're going to agree with me.
Well, no, I'm sorry.
I'm not into predictions, but you want me to make a prediction?
But you're a psychologist. Do you have some advice?
I don't know. I'm not going to tell you what to do.
Yeah, I really didn't want to call you about this.
All right, let's answer your question and give you some good news.
Yay.
You're my second favorite Italian person.
You seem like an honest guy.
A lot of people suffer when they have to listen to me. So at least you're getting your daily dose of suffering right now.
Now, from the studios of Living Bread Radio Network in Canton, Ohio, the hometown of Mother Angelica, here's Dr. Ray.
You see, the wonders of modern editing, when I said, to answer your question and give you some good news, we cut her off. She said, why, you going to keep it short? Yeah, we just cut her off. We didn't let her say that. Good to have you with me. I'm Dr. Ray Guarendi. Program Doctor Is In. Very original, is it not? I tell you what, you don't get that kind of creativity everywhere. Here's how you get onto the program. Very easy. Not like what I had to go through to get onto the program. Begging, groveling, pleading, offering to pay them to let me get on the program. No, all you have to do is call a number. 877-573-7825. That's very hard for people to remember. If you remember your Psych 101, they said that the number of digits that people can optimally remember is 7. That's why phone numbers used to be 7. Well, now we have all area codes, so now it's 10. 877-573-7825. Let's shorten it up. Let's put it into bytes. 877-57 equal. If you have a question about something in your existence, something in your life, people, circumstances, situations, past, present, future, infinity, to use something, remember Ben Casey. Some of you may not remember Ben Casey. Man, woman, birth, death, infinity. 877-57 equal is the number. I'm Dr. Ray Guarendi. I'm a psychologist at the office. Spend a lot more time at the office these days. Not traveling around the country quite as much. Hopefully that'll pick up, I think, somewhere around 20, 36. It'll pick up. Okie dokie. Anything else? No, that's pretty much it. Jesus says things that, if you chalk it up to hyperbole, in other words, he's trying to make his point by making it very, very obvious, it still shakes you up. He says, why do you pick at the speck in your brother's eye? Forgive me. How insensitive, using masculine. Doesn't Jesus know he needs to be a little more linguistically correct? Why do you pick at the speck in your brother's eye and not notice the log? You ever seen a log? Those things are huge. Huge. Not notice the log in your own eye. First take the log out of your own eye, then you can see to take the speck out of your, well, we'll correct Jesus, sibling's eye, person's eye. Think about the implication of that for a second. You know, we just kind of float right over these things. Oh, yeah, you know, I got to be a little more aware of my own shortcomings. That's it. No, Jesus said log. You know what logs do? They totally block your vision. This is not a sliver in your eye where you're saying, yeah, I can't quite see as clearly to criticize my brother or sister. But notice how I shifted that over to brother or sister very quickly, smoothly, professionally. No, log. Log's blind. Logs make you completely unable to see. We're not talking about, I mean, how big's the average log in circumference, you know? Is it a sequoia where you got 20, 30, 40 feet around in circumference? No, they're even bigger than that. But you're just your basic oak tree, which is probably 10 feet in circumference at least. Log. See, that scares me. Because that tells me that
I'm pretty much unaware of myself. I'm a shrink type. I'm supposed to be aware of myself, but when Jesus is saying, get the log out of your own eye, which means I don't really see me either as I am or as other people see me. Robert Burns, the Scottish poet, for those of you who blew that question on Jeopardy. Oh, the gift the giver would give us to see ourselves as others see us. Whoa. Whoa. I dare say if I were a little more aware of how people around me saw me, first of all, I wouldn't like it. It'd be a little unsettling. Eric, get on the phone, Eric. We don't need your comments. As I'm trying to put together a monologue that is cogent, he says, when I said people have to look at me, he goes, they'd have to look down. I can still jump. Also, the other problem with that is that I don't see me as I should see me. The log blocks my vision internally. So how do I know who to listen to? Because, you know, other people have their logs. So if they're going to tell me what I'm like, I can always say, well, what do they know? They got logs, too. They can't really assess me all that accurately, can they? Well, the one thing I know I can do, I can be a little less defensive, a little more open to considering it. Rather than reflexively just batting it away, like, yeah, right, who are they to have that opinion? What do they know? They're out of line. If I give it a little bit of credibility, now I'm more likely to do that with people I trust, with people whose opinions I value. I'm less likely to do that to someone who constantly criticizes me, constantly is commenting, constantly remarking. Yeah, that's understandably, that's human nature. If someone is 82% negative to you in their comments, you should start giving their comments a little less credibility. But if you got somebody that, well, they're trying to help you, or at least their intent is to try to help you, then I owe it to them and I owe it more to me to say, okay, I don't want to look at this, really. Well, let me think about it. Now, but here's part of the problem in doing this. First of all, it's very hard to do. Nobody likes doing it. But you'll be better able to do it if you don't put yourself down as you do it. Let's say somebody tells you something about yourself that you don't really want to hear. And you're thinking how much credibility is in what they're saying. You'll be more open to considering it if you don't have to worry about collapsing in your self-image. In other words, if they tell me this, that means I'm a failure. That means I'm a wretched person. It means I'm not a holy person. It means all kinds of really, really broad-based, ugly characteristics about me. If you don't do that, if you're willing to stay, to say, okay, let me give it a hearing in its specifics. Okay, if she says what I did was really thoughtless, okay, was it? Now, does that mean I'm a thoughtless person all the time, everywhere, with everybody? No. It means what I did there was thoughtless, and was it? If I keep it specific and I don't extrapolate it to my whole personality, I'm more likely to consider it. Now, I don't like that log in my eye. That's I'm going to even say, well, maybe Jesus was exaggerating to make a strong point. I hope so, because I don't want to think that I'm that blind to myself. Maybe that's part of what purgatory is. I will see myself as I am. Ooh, talk about battering your self-image. 877-573-7825, 877-57-EQUAL. I'm Dr. Ray.
I don't know what I can possibly do.
I don't either.
Call now for great advice from Dr. Ray. Now, don't you feel better?
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
If you believe in the power of prayer, Ave Maria Radio invites you to look at their website to submit a prayer request at AveMariaRadio.net. Your prayer requests are shared with hundreds at the Dominican Sisters of Mary, Mother of the Eucharist, the Servants of God's Love, the Monastery of the Blessed Sacrament Cloistered Nuns, the Family of Faith Apostolate, and the staff of Ave Maria Radio. Just go to AveMariaRadio.net and click on the Community tab to submit your prayer request today.
I might have gone to church, you know, at Christmas time, gradually quit going. It's not as scary as I thought it was. It's a much more warm and open place, and God really is about love. It's not about the rules and the things that I remember as a young child. It really is about the love that God has for each one of us that's so deep and wonderful.
If you've been away from the Catholic Church for any reason, visit CatholicsComeHome.org.
Religious freedom and healthcare and the right to life are under the greatest attack in American history. Right now, Catholic healthcare and the pro-life movement hang in the balance. My name is Lewis Brown, Executive Director of the Christ Medicus Foundation, and we are leading a new movement to defend religious freedom and civil rights in healthcare and to build the culture of life. We need your help now more than ever. Join this movement. Go to religiousfreedomandhealthcare.org. That's religiousfreedomandhealthcare.org.
Had a caller that there used to be two Catholic. Now, he said psychiatrists. A lot of times people interchange psychiatrists, psychologists in the Archdiocese of Detroit. They are retiring. Any other psychiatrists? I'm not familiar with any. You might check with the diocese. You might check with Ave Maria Radio. You might check CatholicTherapists.com. CatholicCounselors.com, CatholicPsychotherapist.com. All three of those may have some folks listed. All righty, righty, righty. I'm going to go back to work. Huh? Bridget from Canton, Ohio, home of Mother Angelica. Yeah, I just hope someday they say home of Roy Gannuti. Hi, Bridget. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. You sound like a young mother.
I am. Not too young, though.
Not too young. Well, I'll tell you what. Anything under 50 is too young for me, so keep that in mind.
Well, I'm young in the sense that my kids are young. I have 11-month-old twins.
And you're thinking, do I go back to work now, or do I stay at home?
Exactly. I've been home with them the whole time. And now I'm thinking, when is the right time? Do I go back? Do I stay home? And what all do I need to consider besides just money?
Can you make it if you don't work?
Yeah, I mean, we have been, and it's you know, money's tight, but we have food, and we have our bills paid, and we have a few extra things, so it's okay.
And you call me for free advice rather than coming to my office where you'd have to pay? Okay, I see what you're doing.
Yeah, exactly.
Uh-huh. All right. Well, if you're saying we would tighten up a little bit, and not even really tighten up, maybe not have the extras if I went back mm-hmm. to work, and you got two little ones, why would you question whether you should stay home or not?
Well, you know, there's always the things like you have student loans to pay that could get paid off faster. We don't own a home, so if we want to buy a house, we need to do that. And then just the, is it good for them to be around other kids and learning in an early learning environment?
That one I would not make as a big factor. Okay. All the research says a great early learning environment is parents who interact and love the kids and spend time with them. So,
well, then that would be staying home with them, right?
That one would. Now, in terms of paying off your bills, is there something you could do, maybe a little bit of a mixed compromise here, maybe a part-time job on the weekends or something where you bring in a couple hundred extra bucks a week and you just put that money towards your debt? Could you
so
do
we
that?
We thought about that, but my concern is then, you know, my husband works first shift at the hospital, Monday through Friday, occasionally weekends. So if I'm working, you know, second shift or weekends, then he and I don't get to see each other, and we're concerned about, is our relationship going to suffer then?
Well, hey, you know, if he doesn't like you, it'll probably improve, you know? That's what I'm thinking.
That's true, but I think we're still young enough that we still like each other.
Okay, all right, we'll rule that one out as a causative factor. I wouldn't think you'd want to go full-time, something 16 hours a week or something like that, where you can say, okay, this is what I do. Dad's there to watch the little ones, and I can mix this in, but 5 days of the week we're going to be together. Would that work?
That probably would, and then it's good for him, right? Then he gets time with the kids, and dad's yeah. kid time is important too.
I will say this, if you're just going by the base rates, as we shrinks call it, most, if not nearly all, stay-at-home moms will say, I'm so glad I did.
Okay.
They will say that.
That's good. I think I'll be glad for it because I like my kiddos and I like my husband. But I worry, am I not giving them the right thing? Like, they could go, yep. We could go on trips. They could see the world.
You know what, honey?
I had more money.
Their mama is so much more than all that stuff. So, so much more. My wife was a stay-at-home mom, and I tried to get her to sell Tupperware. She wouldn't do it. And we had 10 kids under 12, and she just, I told her, I said, what do you do for a living anyway? I work. So she said the greatest gift she had was being able to stay home with those kids.
So, all right. That's good to know.
I think, you know where I think you're, you know, Bridget, where I think some of your doubt is coming in? You
What's
think,
that?
Now this is a problem because you're a young mother and I think you've probably been shaped by a lot of the cultural attitudes out there. You think that somehow you would be ripping your kids off psychologically, developmentally by staying at home as their mom and not giving them the range of experiences, violin lessons, and soccer practice, and all of the things, you know, reading War and Peace in the original language, all of the things that they would just blossom from. I'm telling you what, sweetheart, all the research says that a loving parent there a lot is almost, what's the word I'm looking for? You know, I don't want to say it because there's a lot of moms that have to work. I'm just simply saying it's a wonderful thing. And you shouldn't have any doubts about it if you say, hey, we can do this. And while you're at it, you might as well have more kids if you're going to stay home. You know what I mean?
That's true. I mean, the Catholic Church needs a little bulking up, so we might as well do our part, right?
All righty. Bless you, dear. Thanks for the call.
Thank you.
All right, honey.
Bye.
And Jessica, I'll tell you what, she wants to go set this kid straight. That's right. Jess, you go tell that kid. How old is that kid, Jessica, that's rude?
Probably like 3 years old, and my son is 2.
Well, you got to give him a sticker. Give her a sticker. Say, look, if you're sweet to my kid, I'm going to give you a sticker. So,
well, see, the mom is there, so I don't know if I should address it with the mom. The kid's mom sees what's going on, and she'll say, if she does say something, which typically she doesn't, she'll just say gentle hands or try to share.
Wait a minute, is the kid smacking your kid?
He pushes him, pinches his cheeks, and just kind of like doesn't really pull his hair, but he just like messes with his hair, just moving his hands back and forth like on his hair.
Okay. You go up. This has to be handled very delicately. So I'm glad you came to me.
Yeah.
I'm very sensitive and delicate. What you do is you go up to the mom and you say, you know, if this happens again, I'm calling the police. Well, okay. No. Maybe that's over the top. Here's what I would do. You're keeping an eye on this, obviously, because you're seeing it happen. When that little 3-year-old does what 3-year-olds do, just go over and get your little one and say, come on with me, honey. That's all you're going to do. You're not going to correct the 3-year-old. You're not going to look at the mom like, hey, keep an eye on your kid, would you? You're not going to do any of that. It's not going to make any difference. You're just going to protect your kid. And the message will be, I'm going to pull my child out of this situation because I really don't want him to get knocked around by your kid. That's what I would do.
Okay.
Okay.
So yeah, I should probably not say anything to the mom.
No. Here's okay. Why. She sees it. She knows it's going on. So either she's too lazy to do anything about it, or she doesn't care. Her attitude is, hey, come on, 3-year-olds do this, 2-year-olds do this. What's the big deal? That's probably okay. True. Or, like you say, she probably says, nice hands, nice touches. Yeah. And the little 3-year-old's going to go, oh, well, thank you, mother. Thank you for pointing that out to me. Well, of course. In a reciprocal social interaction, this young 2-year-old must use me as a model. That's what I think will happen. Yeah, it sounds like she's just kind of not doing a whole lot about it. And she's aware of it. She just doesn't think anything needs to be done. So you make a much stronger statement if you just go over and get your little guy and say, come on, buddy, come with me.
Okay, sounds like
a plan. And then call the cops. Call the cops. Get them to come in.
All right.
We'll cuff the kid. Cuff the kid. All right, Jess. Thanks, honey. Thanks for the call.
Thank you.
Bye. And you know, that kind of stuff happens. These little older kids. Now, my guess would be, this is my speculation, that if this little 3-year-old continues to be kind of 3-year-old, 4-year-old, 5-year-old, 6-year-old that way, mom's either going to have to do something about it, or she's going to be really frustrated, or her kid isn't going to have too many playmates. The reality is going to intrude. All right, so I got more calls up there. I think I can't go to your call, Mary, yet, and I think you're a grandmother because the name Mary was the most common name for years and years and years and years, decades in the U.S. However, the younger generation, let's say those under 40, Mary dropped out of the top 50 names. So typically, if it's going to be a Mary, it's going to be a grandma. So we'll get to your calls. I'm Dr. Ray Guarendi, 877-57-EQUAL. I got to do a study sometime to see if we get more calls when I say 57-EQUAL or 573-7825, because 57-EQUAL is a lot easier to remember. And would more people call because of that? Or would they say, 5757, what did he say, 5737, what? 75, oh, I didn't get those last three numbers. 877-573-7825.
Bishop Robert Barron on the priesthood.
Not everyone who's attracted to the Lord and to a life of service is necessarily meant to be a priest. So there's all kinds of forms. I mean, from, let's say, the brotherhood, if you want to stay within a formal religious context, but then all kinds of ministries within a parish, all kinds of lay ministries that you can do. So not everyone's called to the priesthood. A priest is someone who is dedicated, devoted to ongoing study and ongoing prayer, to be a spiritual father. As Pope Benedict said, one of his wisest remarks, he said, people want many things from a priest, but what they want above all is someone who's a master of the spiritual life. Hey, I'm great at this ministry, and hey, I'm great at organizing this meeting, and hey, I'm great. Fine, but ultimately what the people want is you're a master of the spiritual life. You got to be, therefore, trained in prayer and theology and spirituality and so on.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
There is genuine consolation from the Catholic Catechism regarding the death of a loved one. The Christian who dies in Christ Jesus, we are told, is away from the body and at home with the Lord. Death marks the end of a Christian's sacramental life, but the fulfillment of his new birth, which began at baptism, now has a definitive conformity to the image of Jesus Christ. The Christian funeral does not give the deceased a sacrament or sacramentals because he or she has passed beyond the sacramental economy. The different funeral rites express the paschal character of Christian death. The greatest consolation to the Christian is the knowledge that even in death, we are separated only temporarily, that one day, if we have lived well, we will all be together again in Christ. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Oh, that is epic music. Manly. I read a stat. I don't really want to move, but I think I'm going to follow the science. I read a stat that said the majority of car accidents occur within 5 miles of home. So I told my wife, we're going to sell the house. We're going to move about 6, 7, 8 miles away. She's not real on board with that, but I showed her the stats. Okie dokie. I got to see if I got this right, because my guess is Mary is a grandmother rather than a young mother, because young mothers almost never are named Mary anymore, although in very close Catholic circles they are. Mary, am I right or wrong?
You're right.
I knew it.
I'm a mind reader or something.
I am so sick and tired of being right. Oh, man. Now, this 3-year-old grandchild, boy, girl?
Boy.
What? How do you know he's lying?
Because you see him do something and you ask him, like, you know, pushing down his brother. Did you push down your brother? No.
So Mary, you gave him a chance to lie. Right?
Right. Right.
And you're hoping as a good loving grandmother that you're going to ask him this and it's going to sink in that he needs to tell the truth, right?
Well, maybe.
Well,
I mean, when it's a 3-year-old, do you discipline them for that?
Well, sure.
Or, you know, okay.
Sure. I mean, he pushed his brother down. Do you want him to push his brother down?
No.
Okay. So you could say, rather than saying, did you push your brother down, and then popping in the closed circuit camera, you could say, you pushed your brother down, Rocky. You need to go over here and sit now. There you go.
What if it's things you haven't seen? Kind of the cartoon I always think of is the little kids saying, not me. Everybody's name is not.
Well, you know, if that's the thing, Mary, and I talked about that in a lot of my books. If you haven't seen it, then you better be real careful about what you ask. Because at age 3, he might still think you're omniscient. But that's not going to last a whole lot longer.
Uh-huh.
So I'm always careful, unless I have evidence. You know, okay, let's say, for example, I go into the room and little brother's on the floor crying, right? Now, the most tempting thing to say is, did you push your brother down? Now, you know he's going to say no. He fell. Well, unless you have cameras you could replay and see if on film you have it, you don't know. If, on the other hand, he's standing over his brother and it looks like he's in a posture that I just pushed this boy down, I'd probably say, you know, you pushed your brother down. No, I didn't. Yes, you did. You're going to go sit.
So in a case of there's, you know, a mess on the kitchen floor, you know, the refrigerator was opened and pudding was dumped and, you know, well, I didn't do it. Well, you are the only one that could have done it because there's no one else in the house. Do you just not even ask and just
you don't ask.
This is what you did? And
well,
discipline?
Sure. Yeah, you don't ask.
Okay.
I one of the examples I use in my one of my books is I talk about kids who lie like this, and little kids, they just do this. All of a sudden, he's got cookies all over his mouth. The whole bag of cookies is empty. It's on the floor. There was nobody else in the house at the time. And you're thinking, no, I didn't see him do it. Boy, there's sure a lot of powerful circumstantial evidence here. And you act on judgment. You say, yeah, the refrigerator's open. You're within 3 feet of it. Nobody else is around. Okay, look what you did. Now, here's the thing, Mary. What if you're wrong? What if, in fact, it was the cat? Now what? No answer?
I don't know.
Well, I'll tell you. I'll tell you, dear.
Okay.
A good parent has to act on judgment, which means they could be wrong some small percentage of the time. And that's okay.
Okay.
He didn't do it. The cat did it. You found out later the cat did it. You tell him, I'm sorry. I thought you did it. It was a cat.
Okay.
The cat doesn't lie to me. The cat tells me the truth. Well, cats lie. No, dogs don't lie, but cats lie.
Yeah, they do. So, is this something that they kind of grow out of, or
well, they do if you teach them?
An issue if you don't discipline.
That's it. They do if you teach them, but if lying works, you're going to keep doing it. Sure, of course.
Okay.
I would never worry about a lying 3-year-old. Never. You know why? Because they got no conscience. You can't expect the 3-year-old to tell you the truth. Well, yeah, but you got to teach him to tell the truth. You got to teach them that lying is not good, even though he doesn't understand the moral motive behind it. He's 3.
Okay.
There you go, sweetie. Thank you. Thank you for
the call.
Perfect.
Thank you so much.
Bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
Andrew, did you hear that? She said perfect. Did you hear that? Michaelina wants to encourage, I think it was Bridget who called in, asking about being a stay-at-home mom. And Michaelina, she is a stay-at-home mom, and she's not real coherent. She was before she stayed at home. But now she's talking, and it's hard to follow her because she's rather incoherent. Hi, Michaelina. How are you?
Hey, I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
I am fine, dear. You sound coherent to me. You sound like you're very much on top of things.
I'm trying. I do have 2 kids under the age of 3, so I don't know. That might affect things.
Good for you. Good for you. Your house smells like a swamp, does it?
No, you know, my daughter really likes to help me clean. She's not upset with a broom or throwing laundry in the dryer.
Wow.
So.
Well, you know why? Hey, Michaeline, you know why? Because she is, how old is she, dear? She's 5?
2.5.
2.5. She
2.5, yeah.
Realizes that you're not doing it right. That's what it is.
Of course.
Yeah, it's not that she wants to be cooperative. She's at the age now, as a little girl, who says, Mom just isn't competent. I better step in. You wanted to encourage Bridget, huh?
I did. I was a teacher before I turned stay-at-home mom, and I think a lot of times, especially for women, identity is tied to their work when they've been working for so long, and then they have kids, and you're kind of in a conundrum.
And yeah, so that's what the culture says, isn't it?
Right, it is. And so I'm really blessed that I am able to stay home. And I understand the bills with the student loans and all of that, but I just wanted to encourage her that if she's enjoying it, then she should embrace it. Because like you said, the studies do say that you being at home with your kid is just as beneficial as sending them to a school, and she can take them on their own family field trip.
Sure.
You know?
You got that right. Well, Michaeline, thank you. I'm hoping she's listening. A vote for... All righty. I'm Dr. Ray Guarini. How very nice to spend time with you. See, that's my sensitive side. I'm really, really working hard to be nurturant and sensitive and empathic and understanding. Oh, that's tough.
Maybe you've been hearing a lot about the need to make a spiritual communion while participating from home in a live-streamed or broadcast Mass. By asking for spiritual communion, we are acknowledging that the Holy Mass is the perfect, best way to worship God. The priest intercedes perfectly for us with God the Father because he acts in persona Christi. This is the time to see that through the priest's representation of Christ's sacrifice on Calvary, we are never separated from our Lord. Jesus, I embrace you and unite myself wholly to you.
I'm Dr. Stan Williams. Contemplate the universe with me.
You do not know the work of God, who is working in everything.
Every cell of your body contains a helix strand of DNA made from 3 billion molecules. But only 1.5% of those 3 billion are the genes used to produce the proteins that determine your biological traits. Initially, this caused scientists to label the remaining 2.9 billion junk DNA. But today, scientists are discovering it's probably not junk at all, but critical to our lives and the well-being of later generations. But when asked exactly what good are those billions of mysterious molecules, they really have no idea. But God knows, and one day you will too. At AveMariaRadio.net, under Resources, explore the universe with me. I'm Dr. Stan Williams.
Call to communion.
Through EWTN Radio, we talk to audiences all over the world. One thing I've found out is everybody in the whole world has the same set of questions. They live the same human life. They all want meaning. They all want love. They all want significance. They want forgiveness. That's the most fascinating thing to me. The same answers work wherever you are throughout the world, because we're all children of God.
Called to Communion with Dr. David Anders, this afternoon, 2 Eastern, on EWTN Radio.
What if, and I'm just asking this, what if there were no hypothetical questions? Something that's I've agonized over. Okie dokie. Lisa from Virginia is telling of a story, a happening, that is sadly, sadly common, I believe. And I personally will take it a step further, and I will say that I do not believe that at this level, this common has happened in all of human history. Now, you may think that's an exaggeration, but you're gonna hear my reasoning. Hi, Lisa. How are you?
Hi, Dr. Ray. I'm fine. Thanks for taking my call.
Well, you screwed it up, didn't you? Didn't you?
Well, you started things at the start of the show and got me thinking.
Oh, no. I hate when I give monologues that mess people up. Before you say another word, I don't think that monologue applied to you at all. Now, why do you think I know that?
I don't know.
Because you answer me this question. When your children were born, who are now adults, did you think to yourself, I got to see what kinds of things I can do to really mess them up? Yeah, that's it. I'm going to try to make them leave the faith. I'm going to try to make them be unpleasant human beings. I'm going to see if I can do some things that they can blame me for. That's it. That's what I'll do. Now, did
you? You hit the nail on the head. I had every good intention, and I'm like, what the heck happened?
That is the exact question that I have in my most recent book, Raising Upright Kids in an Upside-Down World, one of the segments. I said, parent after parent after parent is sitting in my office with adult children saying, what the heck happened? So, the first thing we're going to do, can you feel relatively reassured that you didn't deliberately try to mess your kids up?
Yes.
Good. And I'm going to tell you something else, Lisa, now that I'm yapping at you. Even if you weren't the greatest parent in the whole world, you're not God. You made your mistakes. You made your whatever you did that you'd look back and go, yeah, I probably would have done that different. Join the club. Join me. I'm with you.
Right, but I feel like I'm being tried and judged and sentenced for being human.
You are. You exactly are. But you know what? It isn't because you deserve it. It's because your kids are being terribly unfair. Now, I'm going to ask you this question, seeing as how I've been right all day today. Can you say that as you look at these three adult children, that one or more of them is discontented in life, struggling in life, drifting in life?
Yes.
So who are they going to blame? Their mother. That's exactly right. I see this all the time. Yeah, I'm not happy with my life. My life isn't turned. I'm making bad decisions. Oh, it's mom's fault.
My daughter says that. You made me this way.
I'm
like, no, you didn't listen to a word I was saying.
I sure hope, my dear.
A, B, and C, so it's your fault.
I sure hope you are not going to be emotionally bullied by all that.
You know, I think I have reached the point where but I want to acknowledge, like you said at the start of your show, where, hey, it seems like everybody's rejecting me, and everybody is saying stuff. And I'm like, maybe I am not bad.
Well, wait a minute.
You know.
First of all, the log in the eye is for now. You don't go, I had a log in my eye 22 years ago. I better go back and take it out. That's the first thing. Even if you look back on it and you say, I could have been a better parent. I could have. I had weaknesses. I had inconsistencies. If I had a chance to do a do-over, ollie-ollie in free, I would change some things. As I said there, Lisa, welcome to the club. I will. My wife and I, our 10 kids are grown now. There ain't no way we would take the blame from those kids to look at us and say, you messed me up. No, there's no way. That's not going to happen. Because with all of our weaknesses, with all of our humanness, our intent was good. We tried hard. We gave it our best shot. What your kids are experiencing, I believe, is the culture that has, well, more or less told them how to think. More or less told them that their mother's a throwback that they need to ignore because she's all messed up. And her religion, too, that really ticks me off.
They're all three good Catholics.
Oh.
So that I can't.
Whoa.
You know.
Whoa. Well, then the only thing I have to say about that, Lisa, is if they're all good Catholics, they better look at their religion a little more and honor their mother.
I do. Yes. That is the thought I have is, did you forget a commandment somewhere in there?
Yeah. See, that's all I would need to know. to know that they're not being fair to you. To not be able to say, okay, I don't like what my mom did, but she's my mom, and she gave it her best shot.
Is it an age thing? Will they come to this realization later?
You know what I think? I think one or two of them probably will. There may be one that ends up being 60 years old and thinks, yeah, my mom, she just messed me up, because you won't be around to hear it, so don't worry about it. One of my kids, about, I don't know, 3 months ago, 4 months ago, this is one of my children who's struggling in life. He wrote this thing on Facebook talking about his mom and his dad and how we fell short. Okay, now, and the irony is, this is one of the kids that we really worked the hardest on, because he struggled all the way from the get-go. He was adopted at age 3. There was a lot of abuse. There was all kinds of stuff. I read that on Facebook. Lise, you want to know my reaction?
Yes.
I looked at it. I turned to my wife, and I said, what a bunch of, I'll say, baloney. That was my reaction.
Because you were there. You were there, and you know what you did, and you know what you saw.
Yeah, yeah. And even if I was human, I can't not be human. See, part of the problem with your kids is, and I'm going to let you go because I'm running way past break. Part of the problem with your kids is that they've got this idea that you weren't psychologically correct enough. You weren't psychologically sophisticated and enlightened enough. So I know. I told you I've been right this whole show. I'm like 10-0. This is an undefeated show.
So what do I do?
You just stare at them, sweetheart, and you say, well, God help me, I did the very best I could. That's what you do, because you're just going to be saying, don't throw that at me anymore.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Now, you know what's going to happen? You're going to feel really good, and you're going to say, boy, I'm glad I called Dr. Ray. Until your daughter, the day after tomorrow, points out to you another one of your failures. And then it'll hit you again in the gut. Call back if you have to.
I will.
All right,
I will. And thank you, Dr. Ray. Just knowing, just hearing you say it's common, it happens.
Oh, it's everywhere. It's epidemic.
And I don't see it.
No, it's epidemic. It's number one referral that comes to my office now. All right.
God bless you, Dr. Ray.
All right, honey. Thanks. Bye. This is Dr. Ray.
Solidarity HealthShare began out of the Christian tradition of neighbor helping neighbor. They're a nonprofit medical cost-sharing ministry in which their members share in each other's eligible medical expenses. Solidarity HealthShare is not insurance, but rather an alternative way to pay for medical costs that adheres to the teachings of the Catholic Church. They'll never share in a medical care that goes against their values and morals, such as abortion, contraception, and sterilization. More information available at solidarityhealthshare.org or at 844-313-4999.
Christ is the answer with Father John Ricardo.
I repeat, I'm sure ad nauseum to the guys who are here, a line from Pope Benedict Emeritus now, who used to say over and over again, to be a Christian is not the result of an ethical choice, but the result of an event, an encounter, a meeting with the living God in the person of Jesus Christ. This and nothing less is what it means to be a Christian. So we said the new evangelization is new in ardor. That's a kind of old-fashioned word. What in the world is ardor? Ardor is zeal, fervor, passion. Are you passionate about Jesus? Passionate about Jesus. Are you zealous for Jesus? Are you fervent for Jesus? Are we fervent for the gospel? Are we passionate about helping this world come to know him?
Hi there, I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
Research shows that when families openly live and share their faith together, they're more able to respond positively to the challenges they face every day.
So if you're looking for help in creating that joyful place where each member of your family experiences life as a gift from God, then you will want to check out our book, Discovering God Together, The Catholic Guide for Raising Faithful Kids.
You can find this book on the store page at AveMariaRadio.net.
I was using that shampoo that said you can get extra body. That's right. I mean, you got to believe those things. I gained 6 pounds using that shampoo. Okay, very quickly, anybody doesn't get on the air, you call back, you'll be up first. Oh, Mary from Cleveland, Ohio called. She is a Mary under 25 years old. I know, Mary, but I would just say this about that, and I qualified it. I said those in a Catholic circle who faithfully hold to the faith, and Mary is making a resurgence, because I have a Mary, too, and she's 24. All righty. Thank you, Mary. Anonymous mom, calling from Ohio, would like to pray more with the family. Can't get her husband to come along. Hi, anonymous mom.
Hi. I was just wondering, like, I know that everybody's on different faith levels, and my husband and I are definitely on different levels, but Is it wrong for me to wish that he would let me talk about God more?
Does he not want you to talk about God with the kids?
No, he doesn't care, but if we're having a hard time or something, I say, let's pray. He's like, I don't want to.
Yeah, I wouldn't push that anymore. Yeah, you can't drag him along. No.
Okay.
I would say, let's pray with the kids. Talk with the kids and say, not him. When I say, let's pray with the kids, I mean you're addressing the children and saying, let's pray, as opposed to getting him to pray with the kids. You'll make him mad if you try to get him to pray with you and the kids, because in his mind, he'll probably think, you're making me look like a bad dad. Be my guess. Here's what I would suggest. Again, because I am so sensitive and gentle and nurturant, you need to be delicate, diplomatic when you approach him. You say, is it okay if the kids and I sit down and pray for your wretched lost soul? Okay, maybe not. Maybe bad choice of words. Bad choice of words. Yeah. Here's what I would do, sweetheart. I would just pray with the kids myself. And I wouldn't push on him at all. At all. Because it sounds like he digs his heels in when you do. It's almost like, you're not going to tell me. I'm not into this. So don't try to push me. That'd be my guess. So at this point...
What about my high school boys who... You know, they're like, well, Dad doesn't.
I know. I talk about that in one of my books. I would say, well, I'm not responsible for Dad's upbringing. I'm responsible for yours. When you are out of this house, you can certainly do whatever you wish. But the fact that Dad doesn't mean it's not true. And I have to introduce this and tell you about this. What I would suggest, though, and this would be real important, especially the high school boys, they probably have all kinds of shallow objections to religion, to Jesus. There's tremendous stuff written out there that makes a very strong case that Christ was God, makes a very strong case that the Catholic Church makes a lot of sense. Get those, and maybe you can assign them to read them. Say, okay, you know, here's a book called The Case for Christ. It was written by an evangelical. Here's a book called More Than a Carpenter. Here's a book called... Handbook of Catholic Apologetics. There's all kinds of stuff on Catholic Answers. You can get those to your son. Say, okay, you know what? Here, I want you to read this. Oh, Mom, I don't have to read that. I don't need to read that. I got enough to do with my schoolwork, Bob. Yeah, well, you want to drive the car, you're going to read it. And then we're going to talk.
All right. Well, thank you.
You're going to be the faith leader in the home there, my dear. And hopefully, and if I threw these phones open to people, they would say, yeah, my husband was like that, but he's really come around. I got a book called When Faith Causes Family Friction. You might want to check it out. It's on my website.
Okay.
Thank you so much. Thank you, dear.
I'll talk to you. Bye.
All right.
Okay, 20 seconds. Jane from Seattle. Story related to Bridget. You better make it quick, Jane.
Wow, I got to be fast. I used to babysit for my grandson, and I started thinking, I'm so boring. I never take him anywhere. We just stay at home and play. So I planned this day. We went hiking. We went to McDonald's and played on all the toys. And the last thing, we came home and we sat in my hallway and threw a ball back and forth. And at the end,
and he loved it.
Well, what was your favorite part? And it was throwing the ball back and forth.
There you go. And you throw like a girl. That's the other thing too. And he still liked it. Jane, that's beautiful.
Yeah, the other one makes fun of me.
Thank you for the call, dear. Thank you. This is Dr. Ray. I got to run. Thanks, Andrew. Thanks, Eric. And thank to all of you. Walk with God.
For information on Dr. Ray's presentations, books, and CDs, visit DRA.com and follow him on Facebook. The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.